Welcome to Firm Foundation. In these times of shifting standards and faulty foundations, there is a solid place on which to build a victorious life. And that place is the Firm Foundation of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Your host for Firm Foundation is Brian Hudson, a Bible teacher, pastor, author, and producer of Life Enriching Media.
I'm excited today about the Word because as we have had indication in the worship, We come to the place of having to think about what we will do. And we sang that song that God's opened doors and made ways. And so everything that we think about that God wants to do, it comes down to what is our level of motivation. Say motivation. Motivation is not a Bible word per se, but it's in the Bible, we'll see. And motivation is an important key to your whole life. So my topic is motivation, why we do what we do. Say, Lord, why do I do what I'm doing? I mean, sometimes you know, and sometimes we're not even clear. You know, Paul said, what I'm doing, I don't know why I'm doing this. So Paul even said that. Motivation is a mystery, and I want you to see different levels of motivation, different types of motivation, and then come to what I believe is the greatest motivation of all. Our key scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. The Apostle Paul wrote, "For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus. If one died for all, then all died. And if he died for all, and he who died for all, that those who should live no longer for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again." Amen. For the love of Christ compels us. King James says constraineth us. Some version says controls us. All right, compel, control, constrain, and I'll say motivate are all the same idea. We're in a day, living in a day we are well aware of, witnessing a clash of motivations from all sides of our nation, our community. And we see motivations to do good. We see motivations manifest in changing lives. That's all good. We see motivations to do poorly. That is not living up to one's capabilities and potential. We see motivations to do things that are tragic and evil, like starting wars, committing murder and crimes. And these are all based in what we call motivation. And so we want to explore this topic today. And I want to talk to you about this from, you know, the educational, the natural standpoint, how we live in this world, what we know about motivation in our world, and then take you to a better place, amen, than what the world can offer us. Now, let me say, I've come to appreciate more and more as I get older, and I talked about this in the series on Navigate. We live by the Word of God. We follow Jesus. We pray. We have the Holy Spirit. But we understand that if your car needs fixing, that's not what Jesus does. Holy Ghost don't fix your car. Amen, somebody. If you got bills to pay and a budget to manage and, you know, and plans to make for your retirement, that's not what Jesus is doing. If you need, so think about the fact that we know, I mean, you know, Christians, believers, people in prayer had nothing to do with vaccinations of COVID. We pray for the people and they developed them. So prayer was effective. So my point is, we understand, those of us who have the right motivation and got enough sense to know that God is using all kind of systems and all sorts of people to get things done. And we understand that, well, we do, but sometimes people understand that what the Word of God does, what Jesus does, he shapes your character. He helps you live a better life. He puts you in position so you can gain skills, get an education, come on somebody, you know, and then you can put those skills to work in the world to make a difference. Now, ministry, Obviously, if you're a minister, you preach, you teach, and that's how you help people. But then if you're not a minister or a preacher per se, wherever you serve, that's how God wants to use you. He wants to use your skills. So that's why you don't get up, you know, if you are a banker and you're at the bank branch and you're handling people's accounts and people come up, you know, and get in line and you make a transaction, you don't say, well, bless the Lord. You know, God bless you. And what God got to say about your money? And I got a word for you about your money. That doesn't happen because you don't want people up there talking about God. I'm in the bank. You're the banker. Talk finance, talk banking to me. Now, I trust you got good character. I hope Christ has shaped your character. My point, though, is you don't really need a Christian mechanic. You want a mechanic who's a Christian. You don't want a Christian lawyer. You want a lawyer who's a Christian, who's a believer in Christ. And you know this, and I know this. There are some believers, some Christians, you don't want touching none of your stuff. No. Because you are full of Jesus, you say, and the Holy Ghost. You don't have no skill. Your skill level's way down here. And your shout level's way up there. Now, shout and skill can both be high. But it just seems to be that people who seem to shout all the time, they mask in a lack of skill. So we need both. Amen? Get your shout on, get your skills on. And so motivation is the bottom line to how we are operating, what we are encountering. You'll see in the message today, that key, that motivational piece there is why people do what they do, including ourselves. All right, let's go on here. Now, here are the questions that go to the heart of our motives and motivations. Number one, why do people do what they do? Second question, why do we do what we do as group? But finally, why do you do the things you are doing at every level, personally, in people groups, and just generally speaking, why do we do what we do? And this is something that we want to be clear about for ourselves. We want to seek to understand also those we work with and are doing life with. Now, you can never be clear about a person's motivation, not when you first meet them, right? But you spend some time with people. The tree is known by its fruit. And so just give folks some time, and they will show you who they are, as Maya Angelou says. Now, I'll say, though, that this is a strange world, y'all. Some folks are good at hiding who they really are. They are really, really expert at it. And you think you got it figured out. You think you know who you're dealing with. And then, boom, things fall out, right? Now, some of that isn't that they have poor character. All of us just make mistakes. We're still living in the flesh. You know, we just fall short sometimes. So we don't judge folk by their mistakes. But you can judge people by their fruit. That is what consistently comes out of them. Amen? All right, so then motivation is what we call it. And on this topic of motivation, I think we will find a firm foundation on which to build a life of good and godly motivation. Now, there's a lot we already know about motivation. And if you've been, you know, in school, I mean, high school, college, whatever, you know, you've heard about some of this. I'm going to touch on the natural aspects of motivation now, because some of this is really good, but it's just not the final reality. It's not the final truth for us. I mean, we're educated people, and we learn a lot. We use this to help us in our jobs, in our interactions in life, and so we understand this. But I want you to get this, first of all, the worldly perspective of motivation, the way it is out here where we live. First of all, there's two types of motivation. Let me start there. And we know this. The first type of motivation is, we call it Intrinsic, that big word just means internal. Say internal. So intrinsic motivation is internal motivation that comes from within. It is that which comes from within you. Second, there's extrinsic, which means external, outer motivation. So extrinsic motivation refers to the external factors that drive you to do something. So intrinsic is what on the inside of you moves you, makes you move. Extrinsic is what factors outside of you are driving you to do things. All right. Now, we know this. This is common knowledge. I want to talk about these now because they're important and they're interesting. Five types of intrinsic or internal motivation. So first, there is learning motivation. And that's what it sounds like. It is driven by the act of learning. You want to learn. And that motivates you, you know, to go to school, take the course, take the class, become better at something, read the article, take the training, go to the webinar or the seminar, whatever it might be. You're trying to achieve something. All right, that's a good motivation, learning motivation. Second is attitude motivation. And that is somebody who kind of loves to be positive and wants to spread positivity and trying to make people feel good. And that's a type of motivation. You're motivated to want to make people feel positive and feel good. And it's coming from within. It's intrinsic. You kind of wire it that way. Third, there is achievement motivation. And that's a motivation where you're looking at the reward at the end. You're looking at getting to the objective. You care about reaching the end of the process, reach the finish line, having the satisfaction of getting it done. And it's good, achievement motivation. Number four is creative motivation. And that's what it sounds like. Creative motivation, you're a creative person and you like the freedom of expression. You're motivated to do things, to create, whether you're an artist or writer or singer or dancer, whatever it might be. And you like it when you get to spread your wings and just kind of express yourself, and hopefully people enjoy whatever it is that you're doing. All right. Then there is physiological motivation. And this deals with biological needs, just basic food and water. And obviously, you know, survival instincts. We know that we need to survive, and we are motivated to go to work to survive. You know, I'm staying in bed. I don't want to go to work today. I don't want to work. I don't feel like it. I don't want to do this. And you mumble all the way into the shower, and you're mumbling, putting your clothes on, fixing your hair. I don't want to go in. Mumbling all the way, got the keys to the car, going out to start the, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, intrinsically, this is physiological. This is not a, you may feel one way, but the body got to do this piece over here. This got to be done. And so that's the intrinsic five types. So this is not a topic that, you know, everybody agrees on, but if you research it, you'll find these five come up over and over again. Now, but on this issue of physiological motivation is also something called a model called Dr. Abraham Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, if you've been to school and studied anything around education, sociology, you've heard about this before. Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Now, it's been changed a lot. I found out he never used a pyramid to describe his theory. So, but people added to it. But the five levels, basically and quickly, at the bottom level are basic needs, food, water, warmth, rest. Now, I found out they added sex to it later on. They put that in there, okay? All right. Then there's safety needs. Next level is security, safety. These make sense as well. Next level up is belongingness and love needs, intimate relationships and friends. Next up is esteem needs, prestige, feeling of accomplishment. And then finally is self-actualization, which is achieving one's full potential, including creative activity. So then, now, this makes sense, but when you read about and around this and study it, there are criticisms of this model, a lot of criticisms of it. And chiefly is the criticism that Maslow was studying white males. It's also, he's generalizing. All of us don't fit this pattern. It's not possible. I remember when I was in school, my master's program, we were in this. Why is this true? Because Maslow studied it. Who did he study? You know, who were the samples? You know, I was asking questions, you know what I'm saying? Because, I was coming in, I'm already too old to be in there anyway, but I'm old enough to ask questions. Like, you know, I've been around long enough. I figured out these things all by myself before I came to. So, you know, it's good to challenge these models, isn't it? Because this stuff is oftentimes is thrown at you like you got to have this. And the ideal is you got to go from one stage. Before you go to safety needs, you got to satisfy the physiological need. Before you can go to the relatedness or to the highest top, you got to go past the esteem, the belongingness. In other words, they say you got to go linear. Well, life is not linear. Life is not a straight line. You might go up two steps and go down one and go straight to four. Amen, somebody. In the real world. So we don't live by models. But this is interesting information, nonetheless. So we criticize these things because we do appreciate it has value, but we don't uncritically embrace anything in the world, y'all. We don't uncritically embrace anything in this world. Even Paul, you know, Paul preached. Paul, hey, check me out. I'm preaching. Check and see if what I said is in the Word. The Bereans did that. The Bereans searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul said was right. Paul's preaching the Word. They were checking up on him. So only in a world where no one values other people's thinking and their rights to believe, do we insist you got to believe and do what I tell you. Now, ask questions, challenge it, see if it holds up. Amen? All right. So you got that. So that goes from the last point of the fifth of the intrinsic internal needs, physiological motivation. Now, let's talk about now the four types of extrinsic or external motivation. First is incentive motivation. And that's essentially, it's all about external rewards, right? I mean, it's like, you know, if you, you know, pick your clothes up, I'll give you, you know, $5 or something. Or at a different level, it happens all the time, you know, when people incentivize us, you get an email, it's 50% off the pair of shoes, right? Things like that. That's motivation type, incentive motivation. It can be high level, it can be low level. All right, number two, there's fear motivation. Fear motivation is fear of an undesirable outcome. That makes sense. You don't want to do the task, but you have to do it, and you want to avoid not doing it and then getting in trouble for not doing it. Sometimes fear motivates us. Now, on the really evil side of it even, there are people, employers sometimes, bosses, who motivate workers by fear. You know, threaten to fire them or reduce their hours if they don't do things a certain way. And, you know, and so people are afraid. And so they're doing it not because they really want to, but because they're afraid not to. And that's not a good motivation. Third is a power motivation. Let me move on here. Power motivation is normal to want to have control over your life. So it's healthy in the sense that I want to have power over my finances and my affairs and all that. But also power motivation gets twisted in that sometimes people want to exercise power over other people. They're motivated to see if they can control others. They'll trot that out on you and see who they're dealing with, right? It's always kind of touch and go when you are around a manipulative kind of person, a person motivated by power. But at some point, you got to say no. At some point, you will say no. You might go along with it because you know what's going on. You're playing the game. No problem. But at some point, it's like, no, this has gone far enough. And you were testing me, and now you're trying to play me. You know, testing is one thing. Playing is something else, okay? So then you find out that a person's motivation is power, and you have to handle that the best way you can. All right. Finally, there is social motivation. And this is the desire to be accepted by a social group. Motivated by what others think of you, right? So there's this motivation. I want people to like me, to include me, and all this kind of stuff. And it's pretty powerful. Now, there's a case to be made where we ought to want to be sociable and be accepted. That's not abnormal. But we also know that it's easy to twist that. And so we know that there are situations where young people, you know, tragically, some have, you know, committed suicide, you know, in extreme, or not being accepted. Because the motivation was, I got to be accepted. I got to be received. I got to be included. And I think, you know, all of us, you know, of a certain age, and even all of us adults, I'll say, you know, that you got to draw a line there and a draw a line here and one over there, too. Because there's some social motivations I need and I'll seek, but not at any cost, right? And you know what happens? If you don't play the game, sometimes you become what's called persona non grata, which is a term that just means a person, an unwelcome person. And that's the price you pay sometimes for not playing along with the game, all right? But again, these all can have good and bad aspects to them. And really, it's a part of life. So we got to navigate that. Again, this is stuff we already knew. We all knew that this is part of the world's way of motivating. Now, let's look at some more here quickly before we get to what I believe is the best. All right, so here's some other motivating factors. And just as you see this list, ask yourself, does this or that motivate me? First of all, monetary or non-monetary compensation. I put points in here, you know. we work jobs to be compensated, and there's nothing wrong with expecting good compensation for good work. But it's non-monetary compensation. There's things, you know, there's other benefits, things you can receive on your job and so forth. Points, I mean, this came up in my research. Now, obviously, you know, my wife and I, we are Marriott reward people. And so before we go rent a car or take the flight, hey, can I get some points off of this? Add points to our rewards plan. So monetary, non-monetary, these are motivating factors. Nothing wrong with it. It can get bent out of shape, but it's a part of life. Number two, leaderboards and competitive standing. Are you in that? Now, again, all of us compete some kind of way. Rewards and goal completion. Reputation, fame, status, right? You know, you can go on Facebook, you can buy followers. You can buy some followers. You can buy followers. $100 get you 1,000 followers, you know what I'm saying? You can buy some followers. All right. People do stuff like that. Okay. Number five, community, collaboration, relationships. Yeah. Motivated by community, building community, collaboration, relationships. All right. That's good and healthy. Number six, survival is a motivating factor. Self-esteem. Now, again, there's normal aspects of almost all these, but they're easy to distort and abuse. Then there's internal cohesion, which means I got to make things make sense. I'm motivated to make things make sense, which seems like that's a great one until you can't make sense of stuff. Y'all messed up. I can't. Y'all know what's happening. Because you're motivated to make sense. You got to make sense. So You got to make peace with stuff not making sense. Make peace with it. Do it today, okay? Number 9, making a difference for others, all right, as motivating. That's one of mine. Service, all right? Again, many of us understand that too. So these are some other types of motivation. I'm going to ask you this question too. Of these types of motivations, which ones of these are empowered by the grace of God, do you think? Just think about that, okay? Now, let's move on. But there is another higher motivation. And Paul explained it this way. He said this in 1 Corinthians 12:31, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. That chapter talked about the various gifts of God, gifts of the Spirit. And then Paul said, yeah, desire the best gifts. Be motivated to have the best gifts. And Paul said, I show you a more excellent way. Now we're going to transition, right, from what we already know in the world to what life is for us in the kingdom of God and in Christ. So the Apostle Paul, before he came to know Christ, had his own motivations. We read this in Philippians 3 and 4 through 6. Paul reflected. Paul said this, dealing with those who were religious and who were opposing him and criticizing him. Paul said, though I also might have confidence in the flesh. If anyone thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. So Paul was around people who had credentials and they were Jewish leaders and a certain esteem in the community. And Paul said, I understand that. Paul said, I've been there. I got that T-shirt, okay? Paul said, if he think he got, I got more. Paul said here, he says, I was circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness, which is the law, blameless. So Paul told the people who were motivated by all that status, I had your status and then some. I had all that, and it was not sufficient. That's the case Paul is making, but Paul builds the case. Let's keep going here. So Paul says this, that Jesus changed and enhanced Paul's motivation. It says here, but what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ, yet indeed I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now, Paul's not saying he threw away his education, threw away his knowledge and his Hebrew heritage. He's saying, I have found something better. I found a motivation higher than what I had before. And he goes on and says, brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind. I am reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the high call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I thought for a while, what is the high call? What is that? And I realized today, it is love. We'll come to it. The high call is love. Is the high call to be an apostle and a prophet and go around the world? No, no. I mean, that's a different kind of motivation. We'll come to that. What I think is the high call of God. Now, watch this. So then, going back to what Paul said before, so then in Corinthians, Paul described even more carefully, more in more detail about his new motive and motivation. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:31, again, we read from the outset, but earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. And here it is. These are my last scriptures, by the way. 1 Corinthians 13:1. Watch this. I'll read the whole thing because it's so powerful. And Paul is telling us, showing us, as Christ followers, as kingdom people, in a world we already have the knowledge of the world. We know what motivation is, intrinsic, extrinsic. We already know all that. Paul is saying this. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I could move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. Now, actually, Paul is arguing not against the world. He's arguing, so to speak, against people in the church who are acting like what they have now is enough, or their gifts and their ministries. Amen. The stuff they do. And Paul is saying, you know, if you speak with tongues of men, that's human language, angels as heavenly language. If you don't have love, you're a sounding brass. We know what that sounds like. He just banging on a cymbal. Just hit that cymbal. Hit it. That's what it's like to say you have gifts but don't have love. He goes on, of course, makes the point. Prophecy, knowing mysteries, having knowledge, but not love. Even having faith to move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. See, Paul, this is motivation now. Folks are sometimes motivated, right, just to preach, to prophesy, to give you a word, all this kind of stuff. And nothing, I mean, it's scripture. But what's the motivation behind? Why are you doing it? Why do you do what you do? He says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. You know, Jesus, there'll come a time in before the judgment where people say, Lord, we've done this, we've done that, we've prophesied. He said, I never knew you. I don't even know who you are in terms of relationship. That's an astonishing statement for me, that it's possible to do quote-unquote ministry, to do church, and Jesus don't even know who you are. We sing it down, the whole Christian nationalism thing going on, you know, trying to force people to obey the Bible without the Holy Spirit, without even knowing God, as if God is telling folk to do that. That's not God. It's not what he does. It's not the grace of Jesus. All right, go on here. Watch this. So he said, now attributes, 1 Corinthians 14:4. Love suffers long and is kind. Let's say it backwards. Love just gives up. Throw your hands up. Tell people off, you know. No, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. Love does not praise itself. Love is not puffed up. I'm inserting the word. Love does not behave rudely, does not seek its own. Love is not provoked. Love thinks no evil. Love does not rejoice in iniquity. Love rejoices in the truth. Love bears all things. Love believes all things. Love hopes all things. Love endures all things. Now, this isn't love as a feeling. This is love as a motivation. Please hear that. You know, my dad is here, and when I was a kid, he had to correct me. Looked like he didn't love me at that moment. If you love me, you wouldn't spank me. No, because I love you. Go to the basement. You know what I'm saying? All right. This is love as motivation. Now, we as humans, we're emotional beings first. We have to learn to take that down a notch, because we often respond emotionally when we should be responding in motivation. Please hear that. We oftentimes respond emotionally. We should be responding in motivation. So my wife and I, we're, you know, working through things, and we've been together all these years, almost 44 years. And so if she says something, if I say something, it don't sound just right, there's no way in the world there's a lack of love in it. It ain't possible. It may not sound right. It may not even be right. But there's no lack of love, because love is our motivation. We don't have it by now, we never will. And that's why in relationships, if you're truly in relationship, you never question the person's love. You may question everything else, but the motivation of their heart, you never, ever question. When you find yourself doing that, then that's a problem, okay? So Paul said this, going on, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 8, love never fails. Now, what does fail? He said prophecies will fail, tongues will fail, right? They'll come short. Knowledge will vanish away. So because love's motivation, love doesn't fail, not because love is us doing everything exactly right. No, love, the motivation never fails. The steps we take may not be all the way correct, but the motivation never fails. Say love never fails. Never fails. As a motivation, please hear that, as a base and foundation of your life, like this foundation in this building never fails. Right? I mean, we've had to remodel it. Things break sometime, but the foundation never fails. All right? And the final slide is here. Finishing up now then, Paul, as he indicated at the end of the 13th chapter about a greater way. Now, Paul expanded upon this concept of love here in verse 11 now. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 11. All right. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face is before God's presence. For now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am known. And here's the final scripture. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is what? Love. So faith, hope, and love are all motivating factors. They're operational tools. We use faith. We have hope. But love is so much deeper because love is the motivation behind everything. So then if we use faith and gifts and ministry and prophecy without love, we're nothing. So that makes love the greatest motivator. Amen. So I want you to let that sink in, that, you know, we've learned a lot. We know a lot, educated people, and yet we educate ourselves one higher level by saying what Paul said, Lord, I take all these things compared to you, and I take them down below the level of my love motivation. That is, my motivation is love. Thought about yesterday, again, Dr. Kelly and Pat Jones and a few others, we had the young people. Why would you want to do all that work and set up? And Dolores, bless her heart, she's, you know, she has her own ministry. She has a whole ministry. She's running a whole ministry. Oh, yeah, okay. Had a major event on Friday. And she showed up Saturday. Why would people do that, you know, for young people? And there's no compensation, you know. We know why we do these things, don't we? It's love. And that's what ministry is about. Ministry is love. Now, you can minister all types of ways. But if you're dedicated to ministry and serving, then, of course, love got to be the motivation. It just can't be money. It can't be fame, although people can be in ministry and be rich and famous, and it isn't always a bad thing. But if you seek it, that's a problem, right? So let me say in closing, you be encouraged that on top of everything you know already and practice and use in this world, let your heart be shaped by the love of God. Amen. Let love motivate you. And so you can sacrifice for others, you can do for others, you can set aside the lesser motivations, even not to do some things that are natural to you, set those aside. Because sometimes the love of God compels us. Paul said, his love compels, controls, motivates me. It's a higher motivation than what you have in this world. Amen? Father, thank you today, Lord. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for reminding us of these principles today, Lord. Thank you for showing us